League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Second hour of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Coming to you live from Gal Media Studios in the H, Houston, Texas. As we... Brian McKnight is good.
Fantastic.
What?
I've heard stories, and then I witnessed
it
firsthand.
Respect.
Brian McKnight is fantastic. He is also one of the horniest dudes I've ever seen in my
Had
life.
Had sex with.
Like, no. Like, every time... That dude, in every show and every chance... I don't know if he's married. If married, not, whatever. He didn't care if it was a Valentine's Day concert and everyone showed up as couples, he was going to break one of them up.
What?
That dude was always going to get...
What? How many Brian McKnight concerts have you been to?
A couple.
Really? You're a big fan, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Back at Two, I believe was the album that had all his big hits on it.
Back at One,
I believe.
Back at One, Back at Two. It's whatever Bar Time is. That's close. Yeah, Brian McKnight's got a lot of good songs.
No, he's got a lot of good songs, though.
Yeah. Back at Two.
Now, Nick took it back a step. So now, because of the songs on that album.
That was Back at One.
I'm saying, but you can warm it up
the song,
a little
right?
bit more instead of just getting down to business. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's a warm-up song.
Yeah.
And then you throw on Flight of the Bumblebee and go to town. Like a jackrabbit, baby. Get it over with. No, just kidding. Make sure you make sweet, sweet love to your significant other today. That's the message. Yeah. You're welcome. At least I didn't do it in the 3 o'clock hour. Right?
Bro, I'm
telling
you.
Circle back. You'll circle
back. You know what's crazy is I swear to you, that is never intentional that stuff happens at the 3 o'clock hour. It just, that's organically, it always happens that way. Mm-hmm. It's never intentional. Mm-hmm. So, but Joel obviously doesn't believe me. It's fine. I don't need you to believe me, sir. I don't.
Okay.
I'm glad you didn't mention this, but I think we have to.
Okay.
But now Cody Bellinger says that Altuve stole the MVP from Aaron Judge. And to Cody Bellinger, I say, shut up.
He did. I mean, is he doing that for more pub for himself? What is the purpose? What is he going to gain by making a statement like that, especially with everything that's going on in baseball right now with the Astros and everything else? I mean, is that my little bitter pill that I'm going to throw out there because I'm still pissed that we have had the best team in the National League for years and haven't won crap? And now if they don't win it this year with how much they've even loaded up more with Price and Mookie Betts. Okay, Cody.
I think you're going to get a lot of this now. I think this is just the tip of the iceberg as far as players and, you know, having opinions about that season. It's just we've heard from the media. We've heard from all. Now it's just going to be every city that they go to, every team that they play. They're going to get one outspoken person on that team to say something negative about the Astros. And quite frankly, if I'm the Astros, look, we said what we had to say. We apologize. Yeah. We did it. We've messed up. You just have to move on and play baseball. And
I think Dusty started to deliver that message today.
Good. And he absolutely should. Yeah. They did the apology tour. You're done. I mean, a month from now or a month into the season in May, if I'm getting questions like that, I would just stare at the. I wouldn't even answer. I would just look at the reporter. I wouldn't even go Arian Foster. I'm just trying to be the best team I like. I wouldn't go Marshawn Lynch. I'm just trying not
Bryce
to get
Harper.
Fined.
Clown
boss.
Stuff, bro.
Yeah, none of that. I would just stare at them. Yes. And then they could just stare back at me, and then I'd be like, "All right, am I done? Is that the time? Is time up?" I just wouldn't even answer it. I wouldn't even entertain it with, "I've already answered that question." At some point, just look at them. That's what I would do. So.
What would you do, Nick?
Now, I've actually witnessed LeBron James do that to someone.
Yes. It's awkward, right?
It's really awkward. He did it to the, you know, the guy that got removed from the media after asking Draymond Green that mm-hmm. weird question about the flood and how,
yes,
I guess he tried to relate the Warriors win to a flood, or every time they came to Houston, there was a flood in Houston or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And Draymond Green wasn't having it. Well, he had a really long-winded question with LeBron James, and he literally just turned his head and looked at the next reporter. So it can be done. What Barry said can absolutely be done. And it's really not that awkward for the player.
No.
It really isn't.
It's more. I mean, you think about that, Nick. You put yourself, I mean, we, all of us, well, you not necessarily because you were on the other side with the Rockets, but, and you don't do much media coverage of games at the game. And I don't do a lot, but I did a little bit. And Nick does quite a bit of it. So I think we can all, though, put ourselves in that position of standing there with a mic or a recorder in your hand and you ask a question that you think is a good question. And then a death silence falls over the room. It's awkward. And trust me, it's not bothering the player. No, you're that media member. You are embarrassed as all get out.
You know what you need to do if you're the Houston Astros? In my opinion, you need to take the James Harden approach. James Harden knows how to address the media, satisfy his duty, and then end it and just walk away.
Uh-huh.
He is the king at that.
But Barry, I mean, Nick, you know from what Barry's talking about how detrimental having someone in that media scrum like that, especially early on, because there are a ton of reporters there with an objective. They have to get a story. They have a deadline, whether it be for print and for internet or video wise, they got to get a quote or two. And you get some ass clown in the first two questions that goes and tries to stir the pot because now you've lost the player. Because now the player is pissed off and now he's not going to want to talk. And now you're going, in the media, you're looking at the guy that asked the question the whole rest of the time shaking your head like, are you serious right mm-hmm. now? Because I need to get him talking about the matchup he had with Jason Tatum and what he felt like.
You just shut it all
down.
Yeah,
you just crapped on all of it like the cat on the pillow. Let's see what I did there. All right.
That wasn't very nice.
Yeah, and by the way, yeah, from personal experience, from people ask, yeah, Brian McKnight tried it even with me. When he get that dude... Man, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, let's. So we do have the Cody Bellinger audio. My bad. I thought it was a link. Yeah, I want to hear it because I know he came out. I just saw the headline. This is what Cody Bellinger said about Altuve in regards to his MVP that he won over Aaron Judge.
Thought the apologies were whatever. I thought Jim Crane's was weak. I thought Manfred's punishment was weak, giving him immunity. I mean, these guys were cheating for 3 years. You know, I think what people don't realize is Altuve stole an MVP from Judge in 17. Everyone knows they stole the ring from us. I know personally I lost respect for those guys. I think I would say everyone in the show in the big leagues lost respect for those guys. I don't know what human hits a walk-off home run against Aroldis Chapman to send your team to the World Series. And one has the thought to say, don't rip my jersey off. But two, go in the tunnel, change your shirt, and then come out and do your interview. Like that makes no sense to me.
I'm going to tell you something right now. We talked about how many teams are going to come after Plunk and the Astros. Well, he just put a bullseye on his backside.
Oh, I don't think so. I don't think that the Astros can start plunking everybody that says something negative and derogatory about them. They'll be putting a lot of men on base.
Be everybody, but they'll be putting the first guy that came out like that.
A lot of men on base. He does that whole thing about Altuve going into the tunnel. The more that I thought about it, the more suspicious it really is. And I saw a meme where it was like Jose Altuve came out and said, "Well, I'm shy, and my wife doesn't want mm-hmm. me having my shirt off." And I saw some dude from 790, I think it was, wrote an article about, well, he's Catholic and he's modest and this. But then somebody took pictures from his Instagram where he's shirtless like 7 different times. That's a little, I'm sorry. I'm not buying that excuse. And they showed somebody that did lip reading that says, when you see him grabbing his shirt, it looks like he says, I have one on or I have a unit on or something like that, meaning a buzzer. I don't know the truth, but it is, you have, if you're not just being a blind, dyed-in-the-wool Astros fan and you're trying to look at this objectively, you have to admit that it is suspicious that he went in the locker room to change shirts and came back out, where a lot of people just put their shirts on the field.
Yeah, I mean,
a bit suspicious.
The thing that we keep going back to, too, if you're going to be that naive as an Astros fan to just kind of like want to sweep, like say they didn't cheat. They cheated, okay?
Sure.
They cheated. We don't know to what level and to what degree they cheated. And we also don't know about the rest of the sport. But the fact of the matter, it has been proven and the punishment has been laid down because they cheated. Now, you and I got into it yesterday about did it really stop in 17? Because Bellinger, another one, making reference to the fact that it continued all the way through last season.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas they're adamant about saying, and we have Correa's audio, we had it yesterday, where he basically said it stopped after 17.
Well, the commissioner's report said it stopped right midway through 2018. And that's what I'm going off of. Because you got, you know, we always say, you got the Astros story, you've got their opponent's story, as in, so you got Correa, and then you got Cody Bellinger, and somewhere in between those mm-hmm. two is the truth, and that's the commissioner's report, in my opinion. I don't think that the commissioner's report needed to be full of lies or stretching the truth or trying to mask some of the truth. Now, maybe it was, but if that were the case, I think they would have done a lot better job because this turned into a complete fiasco. People asking for, you know, give back the World Series, give back the MVP. It ended up bad, and he knew it was going to be bad when he did it. And that's why he did it, is to try to put a stop to it. So I think somewhere in between is I think you need to be honest as an Astros fan. You need to honestly assess what happened. But at the end of the day, who cares? I mean, honest to God, AJ said it best yesterday on Twitter. Not that he was like, hey, don't keep retweeting and arguing with people. But at the end of the day, he goes, it's just a sport. It's just baseball. Who cares? Why? Some people are legit emotionally invested and upset about all this. As soon as this show is over, I don't think about it until someone tags me on Twitter. And when they do, I honestly don't care.
You're an idiot.
I do not think about the Astros cheating. I don't care about the Astros cheating. And when people want to tag me on something new, I just like, whatever. I mean, sometimes I just give them a courtesy like just to let them know I saw it. But I legit do not care.
I would say this. I would say this, too. I think that whether it was Deflategate or the videotaping and all the other things, the Patriots didn't have to give anything back. And when they were caught doing anything at all, you know, it came and it went and it was part of the game. And like you said, it is a game. And so at a certain point, you just move on. You move forward because they're not giving back the title and they're not giving back the rings and they're not rewinding the parade. And you're not getting it, Cody Bellinger, and you're not going to get anointed the champions of one of those years or anything else.
Wouldn't that be great if they didn't make them go back and reverse the parade route? How awesome would that be where they had to block off all the streets and be like, sorry, guys, but you got to give back the title. You got to give back the rings. And since we threw you a parade, not only do you have to pay for it now, but we're going to have to go back and reverse the whole parade. That would be so awesome. I would totally be, that should be one of the punishments. They got to do the whole parade in reverse, and instead of waving.
Why would that be awesome?
That would be the best. Because it's just a shame parade going backwards.
Yeah, people cleaning up the confetti just, coming backwards.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, that would be so good. Just throwing eggs at them instead of confetti and beers. Yeah, a shame parade where you got to go backwards. That would be awesome. Have the lady from Game of Thrones ringing the bell, the shame bell. Make them all naked like in Game of Thrones. Okay, that was too far.
Way too far. All right, we still got a lot of show to go if you want to take it too far or just at least participate. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call that number, text that number, or hit us on Twitter. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. So when you got older, it seems like you came
back 10 times over. You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
Wow, love that.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I have a fake tooth. My front tooth is fake. And it's you guessed it, a temporary replacement I've had for 5 years now. Dennis doesn't recommend it, but here we are. So, you know, it's something I have to take out every night, and I don't know if any of you in the crowd can relate to like how sexy it feels to just be at home late at night, naked, walk by a mirror, you know, out no tooth.
Hey, FEF Friday, Comedian of the Week, Julia Serrano. You just worked with her.
I did.
Funny gal.
Super funny. She tells that tooth joke on stage. And, of course, if you can hear the curse words, she basically is like, yeah, you're at home chilling. You have your breast and your tooth out. Super funny. But, of course, we can't do it. So it loses a little bit. But, you know, we do what we can to promote local comedians. And, see, I got in trouble. You guys say I bashed all the comedians and I'm so mean. But what do I do on a weekly basis?
Stop.
Hold on.
Stop.
I got to.
We didn't get
that.
Say.
I'm trying to pat myself on the back.
You're the one
will
that
you get that for me, please?
Expressed emotionally how harsh you are. We just said that seemed a bit much.
Well, you bashed the aspiring comic, not the comic. Actually, you bashed both.
Yeah.
Is what you did.
Exactly what you did.
Yeah.
So you crushed a guy's dreams who may have been a big star.
The more comics I can get to quit, the better. This is how I look at it. It's more stage time for me.
It's all about competition.
No, it's just...
Eliminate them.
Well, the one thing is you get all these dudes that have no business, and chicks, and no business being on stage. They don't want to do comedy. They're just attention whores. They think they're funny. My friends tell me I'm funny. Great. That doesn't mean you're a stand-up comedian, or could be a stand-up comedian. But then what it really does is it wastes time. It wastes comedians' time that are serious, that need that open mic time to work on jokes that they put into an act that they go make money on. And it wastes the audience time because it's like you're not serious about this. You don't really want to do this. You're just attracted to the attention and the stage for 3 minutes. So it wastes everybody's time, and that's why I try to get people to quit. And don't you know what? Don't blame me. That's a Huggins thing. He instilled that in me. Huggins' whole thing is get out of the way. If you're not serious about comedy, get out of the way. That's the old school Andy Huggins.
He doesn't come off that way.
Now it's okay because Huggins said.
No.
Huggins doesn't come off that way, though. That
old school is also get off my lawn guy.
You guys suck.
And he's...
You're like, oh, it's okay.
Get off my lawn guy.
It's okay if Andy says it.
I mean, he's 97 years old.
He's also genuinely a nice guy. All right. With that, we were talking about the Astros.
Here I go try to pat myself on the back, and lo and behold, I couldn't because there's all these knives in there from Pac-Man Joel. Just stabbing me in the back.
Now it's just me, Nick. You're off the hook. Way to go. Enjoy your weekend.
Because it was all to begin with.
Just like every other day, when I go home and I can't stop thinking about the show and what happened today, this is going to this is gonna bother me this weekend. John wants to get in here on the Astros. John, what's up?
Hey, I was just going to comment on what Barry was saying previously. We can add some additional punishment for future cheaters. You know, just like here in Houston, when the judge had the probationers, what have you, wear a sandwich board saying, hey, I did this or what have you. And, you know, of course, in addition to the punishment, of course, fine. But, yeah, we can actually have the players have to wear a sandwich board to every game saying, hey, I cheated. You know, we can add a lot of punishment for future cheaters, you know.
I like the concept, John, but I don't think that they're actually wearing a sandwich board. But I get where you're going. Here's what you could do, though, and I think this would be awesome. Not every game, but maybe just one game. They have to wear on their back how many times they used a trash can bang during their plate appearances. So instead of their regular number, you put the number of times that they cheated. And then everyone, instead of their name, it just says cheater across the back. So it says cheater, and then like in the case of Marwin Gonzalez, it says 357, or however many pitches they banged on the trash can for him, as the leader in the clubhouse, so to speak.
Are you trying to get Astros fans to hate you?
I think that would be so awesome. Just call it like, you know how we have it's dog day at the ballpark, and you've got lover's day at the kids run the bases? Just cheater's day. And you know who throws out the first pitch? The host from Cheaters. It's the best. By the way, I was going to totally do this, but I'm lazy. But I was going to Photoshop the host from Cheaters in the 2017 World Series celebration doing an interview with Jose Altuve. I just didn't have the time to do it. But I thought, what a great idea for a meme that would be.
Barry's going to take it to the point where...
Galecki or whatever?
Johnny Galecki, one of the short guys we talked about.
Yeah.
They had the H-Town Strong Patch Barry wants it changed to H-Town cheaters. Wrong and just have H-Town Wrong on the chest.
Just cheaters. Just Johnny Greco is his name. Galecki is, I think,
70 show or not that no, 70 show.
It's I used to watch it all the time with the nerd. It's all the nerds.
The smart nerd kid. Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Oh my God. How can I not think of that? Okay, whatever. But yeah, get the host from Cheaters in there. I think it would be good. Have a Cheaters Day, and then everyone brings their rings back and throws them on the replica rings that the fans got. They just throw them on the stage like when someone gets a hat trick. Like when someone gets a hat trick in hockey and they throw a squid on the ice. Everyone, as soon as Altuve hits a home run, everyone just throws their rings on. Be like, no way! Anytime they score, they just have to give the run back. They're not winning Cheaters Day. That's the whole point. They can hit like 4 grand slams. They still lost 3-0.
So let's get all these. So this is what you want. You want a parade on rewind.
Yes. A reverse parade.
Yeah.
The number crowd of garbage cans.
Throws baseballs at them.
And then the players.
Yeah.
Players what? Wearing the number of times that they use the garbage can.
Correct.
Yep.
How many times they cheated instead of their regular
the patch
number.
It says H-Town Wrong.
Well, that was your idea.
Oh, sorry.
So you're piling on.
That was 3.
Don't you're throwing me under the bus,
your
and then you're piling
Yankee
on.
Derek Cheater.
Yeah, but on the back it just says instead of Altuve or Bregman, it just says Cheater. So they're all labeled cheaters on the nameplate, and then they have on their number how many times, and all the pitchers, they just you have to how many wins. That's what the number you wear. How many wins did you benefit from the cheating scandal? So like Verlander would have like 8. He would be number 18.
I'm not sure the fan base likes your ideas. Like
no?
not one of them.
I think
you could be the local version of Jeff Passan here in a couple of days.
I
if
think
you keep
Cheater
this up.
Night at the ballpark. You know what? You know who they could play? The Sugarland Skeeters. It'd be the Skeeters and the Cheaters.
Oh my God. Let's go to break.
In an exhibition, right?
Yes, of course. How about that? We won't make it a regular season game. We'll make it an exhibition. We'll do it in Sugarland. Cheaters versus Skeeters. But they still have to do the same thing. It still says Cheaters and the number of times they cheated. And then everyone throws rings at Altuve when he hits a home run. This is, guys.
Barry's going to be a Kansas City Royals fan, too.
That's a good point.
No, God, I would pick
Royals,
another team.
Royals
I would not
Kingdom
pick the Royals.
Instead of.
Trust me when I tell you, I would not pick the Royals to root for if I'm picking another baseball
anymore.
Team. No, even
so
back when they were winning.
It, you're just jumping on bandwagon.
No, I'm not abandoning the Astros. I'm not abandoning the Astros at all. I'm just trying to right a wrong here the best way I know how. Cheaters versus Skeeters. Let's make it happen, Skeeters.
All right. 90 in the books, 90 still to go. Second half of the show comes up next on an FEF Friday. Don't go anywhere. Right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey! 90 in the books, 90 to go. Second half of the show starts right now on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, because it's Valentine's Day, but we do this all the time. We love to give and give and give till it hurts sometimes here with the suspects. So with that being said, we know it's Mardi Gras season, Mardi Gras Galveston time. ESPN 97.5 wants to send you to the annual Mardi Gras celebration on Galveston Island. February the 14th today begins 2 full weeks of parades, balcony parties, food concerts, and 3 million beads. You want to go? Well, we got a chance for you to go right here on this show. Caller number 12, 713-780-3776. Caller 12, 713-780-ESPN. You get a pair of tickets for any day to enjoy the fun. Visit MardiGrasGalveston.com for more details and ticket information. Good luck.
Good luck.
Why are you cackling again?
I'm not cackling. You didn't hear a peep out of me.
I see you. I'm trying to do a read, and I see your head.
You focused
back
on your focused on your paper. Don't
doing
focus
the
on me.
Snagglepuss without sound. So what do you got?
It was the invisible snagglepuss.
So what's
well, Anthony Constantino, mm-hmm. who, by the way, new follower on Twitter, at Barry is funny. Thank you, Anthony. Said, Barry.
Are you following Nick and I, too?
Don't care. The Astros pitchers should have to announce every pitch before they throw it on Cheater's Day. Love it. Absolutely love it, Anthony. Now you get it, buddy. You're there. You totally understand the concept of Cheater Day.
This is the game when you're giving away.
I love it.
So I heard something about announcing.
Yes. Anthony, new follower on Twitter.
I heard that part.
But not for you or me, Nick. He doesn't care. Just for him.
Don't care. Said, on Cheater's Day, the Astros have to announce every pitch before they throw it. So Verlander is in the windup. Runners on second and third. No outs. And he goes, fastball! And then he just throws a fastball. I love it. Fair is fair.
God, no.
This is the best.
The giveaway is a bass drum mallet and a garbage can, mini-sized.
You know what you could do is for a giveaway is like little Oscar the Grouch bobbleheads.
Complete with
such a good
idea. Accessory of the...
Guys, I'm really onto something here. Cheater's Day.
I'm going to tell you this.
I'm really... I don't know if the Astros are going to like it,
but the Skeeters would love it.
Barry, the first rational Houston Astros fan I've heard in months. So there's that. But fear not. I'm done listening to this show. Astros, do whatever it takes. Signed, Carlos Martinez. Well, Carlos, bye.
We're going to miss Carlos.
Yeah, we're really going to miss you, Carlos, that we didn't know existed. Going to miss you, buddy.
You follow me at the producer.
Yeah, I was going to say, follow and come back.
Go follow Nick and Joel. They'll placate you. They'll tell you what you want to hear, so you do.
My hot button is, and you don't want to hear it because you don't want to get into it. But it every single day. It chomps at me more. Jeff Passan does.
Yeah, you just repeat this like you're like a. I don't know. It's like there's a glitch in your matrix
today.
Two things you know that's going to happen when we talk about the Astros. Joel's going to mention Yankees and Red Sox, and he's going to mention Jeff Passan. You do. Let that man live his life. We get it. He sucks.
I've looked at it.
Does he have something new that he's done now?
Yeah. So his new thing today is to take comments from Sean Manaea of the A's and say there are 29 teams around baseball that are still livid with Houston. Astros players need to weather the storm. Then he follows that up by retweeting Bellinger's comments from someone else. So he didn't even write it. He's promoting that. And then he follows that up with the headline of his column today, which is the farce of Jim Crane and the mess that is the Houston Astros. Kiss my ass, Jeff Passan.
Dude, all he's doing is writing for clicks. That's it. Let that man live his life and earn his check.
Shouldn't he be down at the old Compaq Center telling you about God? I've never seen him and Joel Osteen in the same room at the same time, and I just want to know.
Does Jeff Passan talk with his eyes closed?
Well, he wears the sunglasses when he's not on the air, so it's possible when he's asking questions. Yeah.
True story. Wow. Does he really look like Joel? I forget what he looks like.
Kind of does, but no. Yeah.
Jeff Passan. I know Joel hates him.
Hate him.
Oh. He's got, in some of his pictures, he has a very Joel Osteen vibe.
Yeah.
He does. It's almost like he could be telling you to hate the Astros and love Jesus at the same time. You know who loves Jesus? Yankees fans.
The Astros did not act like the Pharaohs were back in the day talking about God.
It's like anytime Passan wakes up and sees an Astros headline, he's like, ooh, I'm getting a chub. I got to write something about this. Like, you're right, though, Joel. I've never seen anyone with a bigger sports thingy for
Jeff the Astros. Jeff Passan did the whole, you know, back in the day where you put gel in your hair and then at the, like, you brushed it forward, but in the front, you brushed it up. Like, you gave it that little up brush at the front of it. He did that whole thing. Like, if you look at his pictures and his images, you would see that he would, like, do that. That was, like, a very classic style, like, in the early 2000s. But every time I've seen somebody
with Caesar? Like a bushy Caesar?
But the specific point I'm talking about is the front.
Where it raised, like, spiked up?
Yeah, where he spikes up specifically the front part. You know, if you have that hairdo, you're going to be successful.
I think I had
in life.
One of those.
You did?
I think so.
Yeah. I feel like anybody who's had that's going to be successful.
But it was way back in my new wave days, back when I listened to like, The Cure.
Oh, that's when the Boom Boom career fell.
No. This was prior to Boom. This was pre Boom Boom.
Oh, you were Cure, Depeche Mode.
This was if you know, like BC. This was BB. before Boom Boom. BBB. This was before Boom Boom. Yeah, this was I went through this phase where I was a skater for a while, and then I was like a new waver, or however you would say it. Mm. And I listened to The Cure and Depeche Mode. In today's terms, I was emo. Right? Like, I was...
Yes.
I dressed real emo and had, like, these bangs that fanned out like a peacock that stuck straight up in the air.
I feel like emo...
Tall, too. They were, like, the first... Not like little, like, you know, flat top, like, you know, from a military person. Like, my bangs at the time fanned way up in the air. It took Aquanet to get them to hold. It was not the most, the proudest moment of my life, my new wave phase. Did you go through a new wave phase, Joel?
No, I didn't.
You didn't have any phases that you went through besides just sports dude and fat kid? No other phases?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, I want to be a skater. And then I was a skater for like 6 months, and I was like, God, I suck at skating, and my mom won't buy me anything.
Well, everybody thinks I'm black, so I might as well turn into Boom Boom.
Well, I was like, my mom would never buy me the cool stuff. At first, I was going to be a BMX bike, and then everyone else had a Diamondback, and I had a Schwinn.
Yeah, but you had a piece of cardboard and parachute pants.
I had a Schwinn back.
I went through my breakdancing phase. I was going to be a breaker. I was going to be a B-boy.
I had a Schwinn BMX bike. I had a phase. I had a BMX phase.
So you were going to be a BMX?
I had a dino. I had a dino.
I wanted a Mongoose.
I wanted a Diamondback.
I had a Mongoose.
Yeah, I wanted a Diamondback or a, what was the other one? The Mongoose. The same thing. I don't know. I wanted the cool bikes. I had to steal pegs to get pegs on my bike. I can't go to jail for that now, right? That's
what are the statute of limitations is over on that?
I had to steal pegs.
Yeah, you should be good.
From the bike
store.
Where'd
you steal it from?
From the bike store.
Really?
Yeah.
How'd you pull that off?
I just put them in my pants and walked out.
Dang.
Wow. Like,
yeah, they didn't have TVs at the bike store back in the day. I was desperate. I needed
put
pegs.
Put them in your pants?
Bro, I had to pump my friends.
Well, I mean, he had to put them somewhere.
Whoa. You had to do what?
You give your friends a pump. That's what we called it, remember? We've been
totally
down this road.
Thank you very much, Nick.
We have been down this road a million times on this show.
We have.
Yes. This is You've never said pump my friends.
No, you've never said it quite like that. Yeah, it is Valentine's Day, though, so it is appropriate.
Guys, I'm a giver. What can I say?
Jeez. But geographically, we've determined that different geographic places when you're growing up, you had different
the
terms.
Pump versus, yeah.
Yep. Because it was bucking in the Midwest.
So you bucked your friends and I pumped them.
Can I get a buck?
Cool. Yeah.
Really?
Hey, Mom.
That's how y'all said it?
Yeah. No one. See? I'd rather say pump at this point.
I mean, that's how we said it. So
pump? Yeah. Get a pump? Hey, can I get a pump home?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you have terminology for a guy that, like, on your basketball teams when you're growing up that shot every time and was, like, a gunner?
What do you mean a gunner?
Like, I was talking to one of my best friends growing up the other day, and we were talking about basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought up, like, when we were in grade school and we got a new kid moved into the neighborhood, and suddenly, to prove himself, he wanted to shoot every time. And he called him a hongo. He goes, remember, he was a hongo, and all he wanted to do, and I was like, oh, my God, when we were a kid, if you were that guy that wouldn't pass and shot every time, we called you a hongo.
No, we didn't have
you
anything. We just called you a ball hog.
Okay.
Well, or an a-hole.
Ours was hongo.
Really? Yeah, we didn't have that.
Yeah. Hmm. So I'm saying a different geographic area.
You went through phases, right? Like I did, because I wanted to be a B-boy. I wanted to be a BMXer. I wanted to be a skater.
I wanted to be BMX.
Okay, well, then you had phases. You're like, nope, I was just a fat kid in sports.
I mean, I had music phases. I disconnected from hip-hop for a couple years.
No, I know. I'm not saying just music. That's part of the phase, right? Like, when I was a skater, I used to listen to Black Flag and the Dead Kennedys and Violent
Femmes.
Jinkos
was a phase.
Was it?
Yeah.
Well, what was that, emo, or was that, like, punk, or what?
I don't know. They were just, like, rave-ish, I guess.
See, but clothes and music is all part of an overall phase where you're trying to fit in with the skaters or the nerds or the emo kids or the whatever.
You went from Spencer's to Chess King to...
Right. So I had like my new wave phase, and then I think that was after that when I realized that I belonged with hip-hop. And that's where I carved my name as Boom Boom, and you know,
the rest is history. Yeah.
Was that before or after you were the dance instructor?
That came way later.
Okay.
Yeah, that came way later.
Got it. Yeah. All right. So at least we've covered the career history of
Colts fan Jose wants to know when I do the comedy workshop. It's every Tuesday at the Houston Improv. Starts at 6:45 p.m. But there's not one this week because they have a show. But it's usually every Tuesday, 6:45 p.m. Houston Improv.
Nick and I are working on a radio workshop. We just haven't figured out all the details yet.
Cool.
We're gonna do. I think we might do it at Nick's house where he does the podcast.
Let me know how it goes.
Oh wow. Okay. We'll call it "Usual Suspect is Missing."
There you go.
It's missing. All right, we'll continue with hour number two, 3-hour show. Don't go anywhere. It's the Usual Suspects. He's been nice about.
ESPN 97.5. TikTok, get up. To the TikTok, get up. To the TikTok, get up. TikTok, get up. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Second hour of the show continues to roll. Why are you making that face?
Because what you just said at the break was very hypocritical. Very hypocritical. But I'm not going to...
How was that hypocritical?
That was very hypocritical. Well, tell the people what
now
you said.
Now you got to bring it up. Now.
I will bring it up. Okay.
Well, I mean, yeah. Barry...
So
he asked. I just went. And then I was like, okay, I'm not going to say anything. I don't want to throw my boy under the bus. That was in between breaks.
I got a problem with the fact that they're... Okay, so Allison Footer. Obviously, that our boy Dustin, his sources, the Granato and them point this stuff out a lot. She can get a little snarky sometimes. Mm-hmm. She used to write here locally. She writes for MLB now, I believe. But Ben Ryder, friend of the show, Ben on the show, wrote the cover story on Sports Illustrated and predicted that the Stros would win the World Series in 17 when they did. And he tweeted last night something to the effect that he's going to have a series of podcasts out and other things that are going to get into this whole Astro scandal, to which she retweeted it and basically called him out real snarky for like trying to make a profit off of the Astro story. And I'm like, what's the problem? I don't get why she would get snarky about that. Okay, tell me, Barry.
Your exact words were, what's the problem? He's a journalist. That's what you said.
Just like she is, yes.
Yeah. And guess who else is a journalist, Joel?
She put, yes, as long as you're still profiting off of this, we can sleep better tonight. Why would you do that?
Okay.
Go ahead, tell me.
I understand that, and you're saying that she's a journalist, and he's a journalist, and guess who else is a journalist? Jeff Passan is a journalist.
But you know what?
Nope.
The same way Ben Ryder...
You can't have it both ways.
Because Ben Ryder can write whatever he wants. He can write about
so
the Astros.
Jeff Passan.
He can write about the Red Sox. He can write about the Yankees. He spreads it out. Passan doesn't spread it out.
Really?
He's got blinders on, and it's always about crapping on
Houston.
You're
wrong. That dude is an Astros honk. He had a whole cover story about the Astros, and he's made his
reputation. Passan did or Ryder?
No, Ryder. And
I'm
he's
not talking
made
about
his reputation. But I'm saying, if in as much as Jeff Passan is a Yankees honk or an Astros hater, then Ben Ryder is an Astros honk for making money off the team. It's no different. It's just different teams.
I disagree. Because
it's
Ryder
just
may,
different teams.
Ryder may have a niche where for a while there he's on the Astros bandwagon a little bit, but it doesn't prevent him or stop him from writing about other things. And I gave you the examples, not just about the cheating scandal, but just about in other ways that if you're going to attack a team because of the way they handled a certain situation, whether it be cheating or domestic violence or whatever the case may be, if another team goes and has the same kind of things to have it, go at it with the same kind of venom.
It doesn't matter. He's a journalist. At the end of the day, if that's going to be your excuse for allowing Ben Ryder to do what he does, then you got to ease up on Jeff Passan.
I'm not easing up on Jeff Passan.
Well, then you can't be okay with Ben Ryder.
I can if I want.
Okay, well, you're a hypocrite.
I don't see Ben Ryder going at on attack mode.
What's the difference between being a hater of a team or like the Astros the whole time?
You said it yourself.
What's the difference?
Passan's trying to get clicks, trying to get.
So is Ben Ryder.
Ben Ryder's doing it the way journalism's supposed to be, by just writing stories about the game itself. Passan's on attack mode. When you set the headlines that you set, and you set
he's covering the story,
a consistent pattern. Oh, stop it!
He's
got
covering
a consistent
the story.
Axe to grind with the Astros.
Okay.
Nick, can you please be the voice of reason?
No, don't look for him to bail you out.
No, I'm not going
to.
I'm not stepping in this
opinion.
One.
He's literally covering the story the way he sees it happening. That's how Jeff Passan it. When you do a sports map video and you crap on the Rockets 10 times out of 15, no, do they? I'm just using it as an example.
Hypothetical, of course.
Do they like, oh, Joel's always crapping on the Rockets? Or are you just calling it the way you see it and it's your opinion? You say that all the time.
If you do it the first time, but if you harp on the same topic the same way multiple times, day in, day out, over and over, without, like you said.
We literally do that on this show about the local teams. How many times have you talked about the Rockets need to get better on defense? Day in and day out.
I don't do it day in, day out.
I'm just saying, that's what we do.
If they play well, I give them credit. That's the same thing. I'm talking about.
That is true, but
still. If Passan wants to be on attack mode, but if there's something that changes the narrative or maybe is a positive for a day, report that too. Don't continue to pile on.
I do agree with that, but you understand. I'm on board with that. But what I'm saying is, as a journalist, you make a decision that this is the narrative that I'm going with. And that's what you go with. Just like CNN and Fox. Fox has decided that they are going to have a conservative slant to their coverage. CNN has decided that they're going to have a liberal slant to their coverage. And then they go at it. Well, that's what Jeff Passan has done. He has decided that the Astros are cheaters and have defamed the good name of baseball. And he is not going to let them forget it. And every day, he is going to point out that they're cheaters. So if you're just going to go, well, he's a journalist, then you got to give him a pass. And
so here's my
okay. That was a terrible joke.
So let's go just to the Allison Footer angle on this then, okay? Because here's my problem.
Okay.
Ben Ryder's exact tweet was many people have rightfully asked when am I going to weigh in on the Astros scandal? I'm working on it, and he tags an excerpt from the Hollywood Reporter that says, slow burn creators, including himself, to produce a Houston Astros cheating scandal podcast and TV series. Okay, what's the problem with it? As much as he promoted them and picked them to win the World Series, it seems like he's going to do a series on the negativity surrounding the team. So he's covering the story as it unfolds. He was a positive Astros guy when he wrote the SI cover story. Now he's going to report the other side of it. Instead, Allison Footer retweets it and says, yeah, as long as you're still profiting off this, we can sleep better tonight. What's wrong with doing what he's doing? And if he profits off of it, that's what his career is. She could have done the same thing.
I'm okay with him profiting on it too. So I don't know if that makes me hypocritical, but I'm okay with him profiting on it. You have to understand though, Ben Ryder is going to be a bit more complimentary. We could be wrong when the podcast series comes out because he did have an unbelievable belief in the farm system. He had an unbelievable belief at what the Astros were doing in 2014 and 2015.
He's the big reason that they're the big reason he's so popular because of that story and the fact that it came true. He owes the Astros that.
Well, I mean, is it safe to say they earned a bit of their popular on their own, and then he really became popular when they actually got the crown and won the World Series?
You could also spin it as saying he's a perceptive enough baseball guy to make the prediction he made, and it came true.
Or he was the mastermind behind Codebreaker and made it come true that way. I'm just kidding.
There's the real story.
Yeah. Journalist becoming
he is a news. Super detailed.
He's like, news, I've got a prediction.
Nick, get with Josh real quick. See if we can get the headline on ESPN. Laminac breaks Codebreaker story.
I'm a journalist, Joel. Let me live.
Sean wants to get in here before the break on journalism. What's up, Sean?
Real quick, my whole issue with it is you got to be objective with it, and if you're sitting on one side of the fence and that's the only thing that you're doing, like Jeff Passan seems to do, I've got a problem with it. So if you're going to do something seemingly like you think that Ben Ryder's doing where he's talking about the positives and the negatives, great. If he makes a buck from it, that's his job.
Sean, would you have a problem with all positive coverage from a local journalist who's like, well, Altuve really change shirts because this and that. Are you an Astros fan, first of all?
Yes.
Well, I am. But
okay, so would you have a problem with all positive coverage and defending their cheating? Would you have a problem with that?
So hold on. That's slightly different because if you are assigned to the beat for the newspaper, as Joel would put it, then you're gonna do it a little bit differently because that's where your bread is buttered. So I get that. I'm not saying it's the greatest thing. But if they're saying it's all sunshine and rainbows the whole time, that's a problem too. And as far as I can tell, most journalists will go over the positives and negatives to it. But
ask Ben DeBose if that's the case.
But he's not a real journalist.
But he covers them. He's trying to make money.
He's a blogger.
All he does is it sunshines and rainbows and blows smoke up the Rocket's ass. And you know what? Plenty of people read him
and
support him.
That's why he doesn't have a column at MLB or at the Cron or wherever other real or SI.
But that's what a column is. It's your opinion. I mean, he's a columnist. Jeff Passan is a columnist. So right. He has to write an opinion. Now,
he's going to have a columnist, an angle.
Right. So as a columnist, you're supposed to list all the facts and the details, but then you're supposed to take an angle. You're supposed to have an opinion. So you can't just expect that his column, if he is of the belief that the Astros took cheating to a whole new level and they broke even the unofficial rules and it's really to a whole new level and he takes that opinion, okay. You're not going to see a balanced, objective story.
If he thinks
when
that
he
they
writes
severely
it.
Compromise the integrity of the game.
And that's his opinion. He's
exactly
not, it's
right.
not going to be a balanced.
He's not going to be like, oh, but no, they cheated. Also, Nick? Though, guys, they're pretty talented. He's going to attack them for cheating.
Do you understand, fellas, my point, though, in regards to passing? Okay, before you say no, make this point?
I know what it's going to be.
What is it?
You're going to say that he never covers anything negative for the Yankees and the Red Sox. That
no,
it's always...
I'm going to say that if that's your passion, whether it's the integrity of the game or whatever, your beliefs in terms of issues that are out there in the public eye as it relates to certain issues... Then you handle it the same way. The same way, if you just don't believe that anybody that's done anything that involves domestic violence should be allowed in the sport or should be this or should be that, then it shouldn't be just one team focused. So if you have a real issue with the fact that Osuna was being traded for and everything that the Astros did with Osuna, I get that. But then if the Yankees go and they have a player that has been suspended for 81 games, like Osuna, and it's for domestic violence, and you just sweep it up. You don't even want to touch that, but you hammered the Astros on the same topic. That's where I have issues.
I'm sorry. First of all, I just can't have you say hammered and not do it. You just said hammered so normal that it felt weird.
I hate you right now. I'm not doing it. No.
So I hate you right now.
I hate you right now. I'm not doing it.
Big hammer.
It sounded so weird how normal you said hammered them. Anyways. You're not gonna do it for me.
No,
I see your
come
point.
On,
I see your point. He does tend to.
Okay,
he tend to like. He hates on the Astros more.
$18.33, so someone could hammer him in spring training with a bus and rode it in backwards and did it again.
See, this is why I love you.
See,
now I love it. Now, the difference is this, and. I understand what you're saying. I don't necessarily agree with it, but
fine.
I understand
why
your point. But let me ask you this. Would you care if it wasn't the Astros? Would you care if he wouldn't write about the Yankees, but then the domestic violence that occurred on the San Francisco Giants he wrote about? You wouldn't care.
It depends on the topic.
You wouldn't
care. It depends
care.
On the topic. Because I get what you're saying, but it depends on the topic. If it's a topic that I'm passionate about, something that happened in my life, in my childhood, whatever it is, and mm-hmm. I knew that a writer was specifically hammering a certain team, but then another instance came up with very much parallels and similarities, and I stayed away from it and I didn't touch it, then I'd be like, well, where is your journalistic integrity to say, I hammered that team for doing it, and with that player, then I should hammer this team for doing it too, going, see, it's becoming an epidemic, or whatever your theme and topic is the way you cover it.
Okay. Fair enough. I just think that a lot of this is because it's the Astros and Yankees. And if you weren't emotionally invested, when I'm saying you, I'm saying the collective, because you're getting a lot of support on the text line. People are like, yeah, the Yankees had a closer that had, issues. And yeah, Passan does have a slant. He never talks about the Red Sox, the Yankees, and this and that. But so I'm saying the collective you. If this didn't involve the Astros, no one would care about Jeff Passan. Nobody. So the fact is that your Astros fandom is clouding the judgment on Jeff Passan.
I have held back anything on this, like responding to a tweet or anything to him directly. But it's getting to the point because maybe you're right to some degree. But at the same time, I just believe that as journalists, if you're gonna be that passionate or passionate about a certain topic,
okay,
then you should be at that topic.
But you
pertains
don't have to
all different teams that are involved in that topic.
Not necessarily, though.
He's a national reporter, Barry.
But he gets to pick what he covers and how.
Oh, he sure does. All right, we're going to get to break. We got an hour left to go on the show. If you want to chime in or get to something else, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, or hit us on Twitter. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is ESPN 97.5.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.